Studio 360.
We've talked so far about artists making work in America inspired by American society and politics. But what about artists creating work abroad in less free places? Back in 2004, I spoke to two Iranian-American emigre writers, the author and scholar Reza Aslan and the poet and journalist Roya Hakakian, who's the author of Journey from the Land of No, a memoir of growing up Jewish in Tehran before and after the Islamic Revolution. Roya begins by explaining the role of poetry in Iran after the 1979 revolution as a part of daily life as well as political rhetoric.
One of the things that my parents do is that they get together with friends on a monthly basis, and they don't, instead of having, you know, cocktail parties, they have a poetry gathering, poetry nights. My parents' generation really get together around poetry, and their parties are nothing but, you know, a mere getting together of people who either recite poems of other great poets or their own poems. And this is basically a reflection of how Iranians really get close to each other when they want to become intimate and when they want to kind of enter that private sphere of each other's lives. And that's always via poetry. I think poetry, more than even prose or, you know, simple daily dialogue, has been the way that we have reached into each other and created relationships with one another.
That's right.
Is that something, singular about Persian culture?
It's at the very fabric of Persian culture. Our cultural and national heroes are not political leaders, are not religious leaders. Here, if you go to Washington, D.C., you go to the tombs of our patriarchs, the Washington and Jefferson and Lincoln. Nothing like that exists in Iran. If you want to go to the tombs of our national heroes, they're poets. You go to Sa'di's tomb, you go to Hafez's tomb, you go see the land of Omar Khayyam. It is at the very fabric of who we are. It's within our very language. In fact, Persian, the Farsi language, is itself a deeply poetic language and gives itself very freely to this kind of poetic inflection.
And it is not just a tiny fraction of a fraction of the super educated. This is really a relatively widespread fact in Iranian Persian culture?
It's impossible to have a conversation with anyone in any class in Iranian society without them sprinkling their everyday conversation, their conversation with the butcher, their conversation with the taxi driver, with poetry. It's part of our national culture. And if you cannot do it, then you're not Iranian.
Roya, is there poetry that you remember as a child being recited or that you today use in your daily life or in your work?
Oh, absolutely. I actually remember these, you know, hundreds and hundreds of Persian poems that I grew up with, and I spent all of my adolescent years really just embracing them and memorizing them and just reciting them. I really understood so much of Iran through these poetry. I understood not only something about our language and the beautiful ways, the lyrical ways in which it worked, but also something about what we were striving for, because almost all of our most popular poets and most popular poetry that people constantly recited made one way or another an allusion to darkness, for instance, which given that Iran was under a censorship, meant the dictatorship of the Shah, or they made an allusion to the oncoming dawn, which was the revolution, and we as a culture had learned all of these metaphors. We knew what, for instance, the red rose stood for, which was, a prisoner or someone who had, in the process of fighting the regime, lost his life. We knew what whiteness or spring meant, especially against winter. And so We had in some ways created a secondary language next to the ordinary Persian that we spoke. And that was all these beautiful lyrical codes that we had invented in order to convey all these political messages to each other through all these poems. And I grew up with them, and I think I wouldn't swap a line of those with anything else in the world.
Well, now that I've heard that extraordinary time of sort of politicized poetry, I have to ask you to recite some bit of one of them that was important to you.
One of my most favorite poets was a woman whose name is Farrukh Farrukhzad. And Farrukh died, unfortunately, in a car accident when she was only 33. And she wrote about five books, three of which were somewhat traditional, and the last two signal her political awakening. And in two of her last books, she came up at the end of a poem with, small haiku. It wasn't a haiku, but the lines just ended with two lines, which was in itself a poem. And it said, "Remember flight, because the bird is mortal." And we heard afterwards that almost every prisoner, political prisoner, who was sort of languishing in prison cells at the time of the Shah, was inscribing those two lines on the walls of their cells because it meant so much to them. Another short piece that I have chosen from Farrukh, because her poems are very long, is this, which I like very much. من پری کوچک غمگینی را می شناسم که در اقیانوسی مسکن دارد و دلش را در یک نیلبک چوبین می نوازد آرام آرام. پری کوچک غمگینی که شب از یک بوسه می میرد و سحرگاه از یک بوسه به دنیا خواهد آمد. I know a sad little fairy who lives in an ocean and ever so softly plays her heart into a wooden flute, a sad little fairy who dies with one kiss each night and is reborn with one kiss each dawn.
Mashallah.
That's very lovely.
Roya Hakakian's latest book is called Assassins of the Turquoise Palace. And last year, Reza Aslan published God, A Human History.